Sefer readings through Parsha Framshir for Parshas Noach. We'll be looking at the Sefer Ohal Shem by Rav Shem Klingberg. So the Pasuk Ohal Shem comes up in Perek Tes, Pasuk of Zion, where it says, Yafta Elokim Yefes, Vayishkon Ba'ohal Shem, Vayi Kanan Eved Lamo. Rashi says, Vayishkon Ba'ohal Shem, referring to one of the sons of Noach, means that the Shekhinah will dwell amongst Klal Yisrael. So it makes sense that he called his sefer Ohal Shem because his name was actually Shem. So Rav Shem Klingberg of Zalushitz lived from 1870 to 1943. He was called the Zalushitz or Rebbe of Krakow. His name Shem, which is unique, even though we're one of Noach's sons, it's not a very common Jewish name. It was given to him according to the tradition held by his great-grandfather, Rav Yitzchak Isaac of Kamarna, that Shem, the son of Noach, was to be a spokesman in favor of the Jewish people in a certain year, which was the year of Rav Klingberg's birth. Now, there is another sefer called Ohal Shem, the expert of Shlomo Gansfried, the Baal Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, but this is not to be confused with that sefer. This is Rav Shem Klingberg. So he lived in Krakow before the Holocaust. He hid for 2 years, but in 1941, he was smuggled into the ghetto. He managed to write to his son about the murder of his Rebbetzin and daughters. Only one of his sons, named Moshe, survived and actually put together the Sefer and the Hakdama. It was recorded that he stopped singing Zmiros on Shabbos in the ghetto. As he said, Yisrael Tovim Bayam Vatem Omrim Shira. How could my Jewish brethren be suffering and I'm singing? But he still gave Shir in the ghetto. He was murdered on the 20th of Nisan, 1943, in the Plezhov camp on the outskirts of Krakow. It's reported that he displayed no fear and asked for a pair of tzitzis to recite Vidoy. They brought him the tzitzis, he said Vidoy, and he asked that it may be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that his death atone for all of Klal Yisrael. They allowed him to say Shema Yisrael. Most of his writings were lost, but whatever we have was saved and put in the Sefer Ohal Shem. He was the son-in-law of Rav Yisrael Horowitz, who's part of the Rupshitz dynasty. After his father Avram Mordechai's Patira death in 1916, he was named the Rebbe of Zalushitz. His son writes in the Hakdama that he knew Kisvei Arizal by heart. He felt like he was a Talmud of the Bnei Yisachar, in that he felt very connected to his teachings, and he felt like he had a nitzutz, a spark of his neshama, was from Rav Shimon and Master Poli. He was very connected to the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Balei Kabbalah. We'll quote five different limudim from the Sefer Ohal Shem, which is mostly on the Parsha, but it also has pieces related to the Moadim. So the first one, in Parsha's Vayera, the Pasuk said that Hashem appeared to Avraham be'elone Mamre, in the plains of Mamre. And Rashi asks, why does the Torah need to tell us exactly where Hashem appeared to Avraham? And the answer is, because it was Mamre who advised Avraham al Hamila, regarding circumcision. So all the Mefarshim ask, Kadosh Baruch already told Avraham to do a Mila. So what advice does Avraham need? So Rav Shem Klingberg explains that many mitzvos are preceded by brachos. Some start with al, and others with le, as the Gemara in Pesachim of Zayin has discussion as to when one says al and when one says le, and he suggests that Mamre was advising Avraham as to the proper bracha, that he should say al hamila and not limol. Second limud, in Parshas Kisavo, Rashi quotes, and Pasuk in Pera, based on Mishnah Bikurim, Paragimel Mishnah Aleph, that a man goes into his field and sees a fig that has begun to ripen, so he wraps a reed grass around it as a sign and declares it as Bikurim. So in the Ohal Shem, we know, he writes, that the Mishnah teaches us that Bikurim is only brought from the Shiva Minim. Okay, so why did Rashi, when he's quoting the case of Bikurim, choose a fig as opposed to any other of the Shivas Haminim? So Rav Klingberg explains that Bikurim served as a tikkun, as a rectification for the chait, for the sin of the Eitz Hadas. And according to one opinion of the Gemara in Brachos, Naf Mem Amar Aleph, the forbidden fruit of the Eitz Hadas was a fig. And therefore, it would make sense that the tikkun for the Eitz Hadas, which is Bikurim, should be with the very item that with which the Avera was done. Rav Pinchas Friedman in Shvili Pinchas goes on to explain that why Bikurim is actually a tikkun for Eitz Hadas, because Bikurim is all about Hakar Satov. Adam HaRishon lacked Hakar Satov. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a woman to assist him. Now he blames her. So therefore, in order to rectify the sin, the Avera of Hakar Satov, we bring Bikurim to show we have so much Hakar Satov. And to do that, we use a fig, the very item, according to one opinion, which was part of the Avera, which lacked Hakar Satov. We use that in the mitzvah to show Hakar Satov. Number three, in the Likutim, in the back of the Sefer, he has a little small piece on Chodesh Elul, where he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, which says, Tismach Pesul B'machol U'bachorim U'zkinim Yachtov. What does that pasuk mean? So he heard in the name of Shmelka Minikolsberg that a Pesul refers to Chodesh Elul, and it means, when are we Zocha to Simcha and Elul? When Machol happens, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Mechila. But he adds from the Sefer Bina Le'itim, on the pasuk Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem, as Eliyahu Anavi, V'heshev Lev Avos Al Banim, V'lev Banim Al Avos, that older people have something better than younger people, and younger people have something better than older people. Older people are better in that they're less desirous for sin, for chet. They don't have as many taivos. But also, because they don't have as many desires, they don't have the same hislavos for mitzvos. They don't have that same passion. Younger people have more desire for averos, which is worse, but they also have more desire, more zrizos for mitzvos. So the tefillah is, we should be zocha to the best of both worlds. And that's what it means, leiv avos al banim, leiv banim al avos. We want the leiv, the best of the avos and the banim. And that's what the pasuk referring to Chodesh Elul means, that bachurim uzkinim yachtov. We should be zocha to an Elul is to be able to have, to limit our desires like the Avos, but also to have the Hislavos for Mitzvos like the Banim, and we should combine that into Ubachurim, Uzkinim, Yachtov. Number four, the Gemara in Sukkah says that about Rabbi Eliezer, that Miyomai lo kidmani Adam bebeis hamedrash. Rabbi Eliezer says about himself that no one ever beat me to the Beis Medrash. I was always the first one there. So Rav Klingberg writes that the first Tana mentioned in all of Shas, in the first Mishnah in Brachos, is Rabbi Eliezer. And he says perhaps Rabbi Eliezer was zoche to this, to be the first name mentioned in all of Shas, because as a merit, as a reward for the fact that Miyamai lo kidmani adam based on a medrash, since he always made sure to be first one in the base medrash, he was zoche to be listed first in Shas. And finally, the fifth limud, Parshas Ekev, so the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Pezayin tells us that Moshe did three things on his own that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to. And one of them is he was Hosif Yomechad Midaito. He added on one day to Kabbalah HaTorah. So the pasuk in Parshas Ekev, Moshe says to Bnei Israel, Mamrim Hayisem Im Hashem Miyom Daiti Eschem. You've been rebelling against Hashem since the day I became acquainted with you. So Rav Klingberg asks, how can Moshe say this? Wasn't he supposed to be a defender of Klal Yisrael? Why is he, so to speak, throwing them under the bus like this? So he explains, this was actually a limud zechus on Klal Yisrael. As if to say, that the reason the Jews performed the Chid HaEgel was actually because of him, because of Moshe. Why? Well, the Gemara tells us that Moshe was Hosef Yomechad Midaito. He added a day to Kabbalah HaTorah, as he darshan the pasuk, Hayom u'machar, to mean that today should be like tomorrow, meaning a full day, which includes the night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said during the day. So that's when he told Moshe. So Hayom could not mean today, since it didn't have a night with it. Rather, it means today plus tomorrow. And then machar meant the day after that. So 2 days, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be on the third day. So therefore, when Moshe went up to get the Torah for 40 days, according to Moshe, 40 days also need to be complete days with a day and a night. So when he started in a day, that day didn't count. So it didn't have a night with it. But the Jewish people didn't realize this. They thought, Mitzvah Hayom Kekulo. If something starts in the day, that counts as day one. But Moshe never really revealed to them his own cheshbon. So he gave them room to make an error that when they didn't see him come down, when they thought he was supposed to, then they decided to make an egel. So it really was a little bit Moshe's fault for not letting them in on his cheshbon. And that's what Moshe meant, says Rav Klingberg, when he says, Mamrim hayisim mashem, miyom daiti. When did they start rebelling? Miyom daiti. When I was most yivim echad midaiti. When I added on a day, that's what confused them and caused them to make a mistake. So ultimately, Moshe Rabbeinu really is the best defender of Klal Yisrael. And he's admitting his own mistake to save the Jewish people. And Rav Klingberg says, this also explains the godless of Moshe breaking the luchos. As the Gemara Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chav Tes tells us, that someone who is not mechuyiv in something, who is not commanded or obligated in something, cannot be motzi someone else in that same thing. There needs to be a connection. Both people have to be involved. So Moshe seemingly had no shaychus to the Chid HaEgel. He wasn't involved. He was up in Shemayim. So how could Moshe, how do you have the audacity to daven for the Klal Yisrael to get them out of the situation when he wasn't involved at all? Says Klingberg, Moshe's kavana was when breaking the luchos. We know the Gemara tells us, someone who breaks kelim in anger, it's ki'ilu, he worships Avodah Zarah. So Moshe broke the luchos out of anger. He made himself into someone who is ki'ilu worshiping Avodah Zarah. Now he's in the same boat as the rest of Klal Yisrael, who worshiped the Egel Azov and also were like worshiping Avodah Zarah. Then Moshe had shaychus to them, and then he could daven for them in an amazing pshat. So that's a little bit about Rav Shem Klingberg and his fascinating sefer, Ohalei Shem.